pathway of the intellect is traditionally theology. You can know vast amounts of theology and not really advance all that much personally because of the pride of the ego. The ego presumes, I know all about that. I've read all about that. I can quote chapter and verse. And it thinks that to know about that, believe in it, and have faith in it is the end of the path. And it doesn't realize that that is only really the beginning of the path. Theology calibrates around 450, the same as philosophy, studying metaphysics, etc. The great books of the Western world show you how the intellect is applied to all kinds of problems, including theology. Out of this, finally, a person says, well, is there anything more? Is there anything more? And then they discover the pathway of mysticism, the inner path to realization. That's the pathway of wisdom. The pathway of wisdom begins to examine the mind itself, the ego itself, become acquainted with how it operates. And by self-knowledge, by wisdom, the pathway of wisdom takes you through understanding. It takes you through the inner pathway. The inner pathway takes you to subjectivity. How do I know, and how do I know that I know? And that takes you to the awareness of consciousness itself. How does one even know what is going on within consciousness? And that's because of awareness. So you realize that there's an infinite field called awareness, which allows you to know what goes on in consciousness. And it is consciousness that allows you to know what goes on in mind. And you begin to realize that all experience of reality is purely subjective. There is no objective experience of reality. In fact, objectivity is merely a subjective conclusion. When you say, I'm being objective, that's your own personal subjective experience of, of what's going on. So all these so-called objective scientists, that's a purely subjective conclusion they have made. Just like the skeptic does. The skeptic says, well, in my mind, I think it's not true. Therefore, it's not true. As you can see, that's a radically subjective conclusion. And of course, it's egoistic because you don't believe it's true or can't see it's true. It doesn't mean it isn't true. It just means your mind is not too advanced or bright and you don't have very high IQ. The reason you can tell a skeptic is not too bright is because a bright person investigating the mind discovers its limitation. And you stop being a skeptic because you realize it's stupid to be a skeptic because skepticism cannot be proven to be true any more than what the skeptic scoffs at. So you cannot both have a high IQ and be advanced and intelligent and also be a skeptic. Reason is very respectable. You'll notice that the great scientists all calibrate about the same as the great books of the Western world. So that's the domain. The 400s is the domain of logic and reason, of mathematics, of very erudite science. Look at the great names of history, Aristotle, Sir Francis Bacon. David Bohm calibrates a little higher than most of them at 505. That's the enfolded and unfolded universe. Niels Bohr, you see the great names, Copernicus, Charles Darwin, Eddington, Thomas Edison. Edison's 490. He was a great genius. You see, people envy America. You know what America is? America is the product of these people here. Thomas Edison, in one discovery of electricity, created more wealth than the whole income of other countries. Just one invention. Just the one invention. Already created great wealth, not to mention the computer world, etc. So the great creativity then, people envy America's great wealth. Here's the source of its great wealth. The inspiration of people like this, and of course Albert Einstein at 499, Euclid, Michael Faraday, Sir Alexander Fleming, Sigmund Freud, Galileo, Galvani, Stephen Hawking alive today, 499, Werner Heisenberg, who really changed the world a great deal, Hippocrates, Thomas Huxley, Jenner, the vaccination, otherwise most of us in the room wouldn't even be alive. We all got vaccinated as kids, otherwise we would have probably not made it. Kekul, who got an insight into the carbon molecule in a dream. That was the snake swallowing its own tail, and he got the image. Ernst Mach, Malthus, James Maxwell, Sir Isaac Newton. The Newtonian dimension is what dominates us. The Newtonian dimension calibrates in the mid-400s, but its inventor was at 499. He created the differential calculus, Sir Isaac Newton. Now, Sir Isaac Newton, it's a great contribution, On the other hand, from the viewpoint of consciousness, it is also a limitation, because this is the world of causality, this is the world of modern science. Now you notice Newton, science is in the like 460 or maybe even as high as 480. Sir Isaac Newton calibrated 499. How is that? He calibrated higher than his work. Usually a person calibrates at about the same level as their work. He was intensely spiritual, religious. Sir Isaac Newton, so many of the great scientists were themselves very spiritual and very religious. So Sir Isaac Newton, although he declared the importance of reason and logic, himself was very spiritual. Louis Pasteur, Max Planck, look at all the great names of history. Semmelweis, childbirth fever, the infection is due to germs. Charles Steinmetz, Teilhard de Chardin. So these are all in the mid 400s to the very high 400s. There you have erudition, intellectual erudition. The university's academia was in the range of the great books of the Western world. Intellectual excellence, elegance, the rules of logic, etc. These are the great scientists, and of course they are all greatly honored. But you see what they created. What came out of their creation is today's world. And what the world envies is the consequence of their genius and their productivity. So calibrating levels of consciousness gives you what is the level from which they speak, which doesn't depend on opinion, doesn't depend on propaganda, doesn't depend on brainwashing. You know, what is the intrinsic energy of the essence? All right, so philosophic theories are, here's where academia has hit the skids. It doesn't know it's hit the skids, but it has badly hit the skids. If you calibrate academia during, let's say, my generation, and you calibrate it now, they're not even in the same range. Perception is reality. Shepard Smith said that from the Middle East. He said, in this world, perception is reality. Falsehood is truth. And I say all these professors who tell you that falsehood is the equivalent of truth, that's the essence of relativism, wouldn't mind getting paid with counterfeit money then, would they? It wouldn't matter if their check is good or not, because that's only a point of view. If there is no core reality, if there is no such thing as truth, if falsehood is equal to truth, then why should they complain if I pay them in counterfeit money? Then you'll see them put their money where their mouth is. No, they do not really believe in that, because all the nutty professors get big money for their lectures.